Parshas Achrimos in Perek Yud Ches, the Torah says, "Kimase Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtim Bo Lo Sasu, uChemase Eretz Kanaan Asher Ani Meviaschem Shomo Lo Sasu, uChukosem Lo Seilechu, Es Mishpatai Tasu, vesChukosai Tishmoru, Lo Leches Bohem Ani Hashem Elokeichem, uShmartem Es Chukosai Ves Mishpatai." Asher Yaso Som Ha'odom Ve'chai Bohem Ani Hashem. The Pasuk seems to repeat itself. It's quite repetitive, and we mentioned this in the past, but we never got a chance to really study and analyze it. In Pasuk Dalid, the Torah tells us Es Mishpatai Tasu, and then in the next Pasuk He, once again Ushmartem Es Chukosai Ves Mishpatai. Also, what does it mean, Asher Yasa Osam Ha'odom? Ha'odom, it's like in Nistar, you know, we don't know who this Odom is. Why couldn't the Pasuk just say, Ushmartem Skukosai, Vichiyisem Bohem? What's Ha'odom? And Chazal derived from Vachai Bohem, Veloshi Yomus Bohem, that Bikuach Nefesh is Docha Kolatar Kula, with the exception, of course, of three Averis Chamuris. That's the sugi at the end of Masech Yuma. The Gemara says in Masech Shabbos that Eina Torah Miskayemes El B'mishem Memis Atzmo Oleho, Shenemar Odom Kiyomus Bo Ohel. And is there not a stira here? Because on the one hand, Velo Shiyomus Bohem, and on the other hand, Mishem Memis Atzmo Oleho. Talmud Torah is the mitzvah that requires that you are memis atzmo, and that seems to undermine the principle of v'chai b'hem v'lo sheyomus b'hem. Again, obviously, when it says memis atzmo b'ohola shel Torah, it doesn't mean literally that he should kill himself. He should be working very, very hard. You know, yigia rabba. But yet, there's still a lack of clarity over here. The expression of memis atzmo with regard to Talmud Torah seems at the surface to be a contradiction to the principle of v'chai bohem. The Torah also in this unit of three psukim mentions the lav of b'chukoseim lo seilechu. And earlier in the pasuk, in this very same unit, it says Kemaiser Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtim Bo Lo Sasu. So what is the Torah coming to add by telling us Ubechukoseim Lo Seilechu? Rashi, in his Pirush here in Parshas Achrimos, asks the following question. He says, Ma Hiniach HaKosuv Shelo Omar? What did the Pasuk omit that had to be explicated? Ella, but rather, what's b'chukoseim lo seilechu? Elu nimusos shalahem dvorm hachakukim lahem kagon tartiaros v'itztadios v'mer elu darche amori shemoru chachamim. And we would like to understand what exactly is included under this category of b'chukoseim lo seilechu. What's the underlying definition of this avera? The Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Ches, Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Nochri, the Osek the Torah, Shehukiko in Godol, Talmud Lomer, Sheyase, Osam, Ha'odom, Vechai Bohem. Konim Ulevim Yisraelim Lonemar, Ela Ha'odom, Holomanata Afilu Nochri, Nochri is called an Odom in the Torah, the Osek the Torah, Harehukiko in Godol. And that's derived from Yaso Soha Adam V'chai Bohem. Tosus raises a question based on a Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Ein Kivrei Ha'akum Metamim V'ol Shenemar Adam Ki Yomus Bohol Atem Kuyum Adam V'ein Ovdei Kuchom Kuyum Adam. So it's interesting that the word Adam comes to exclude Goy in the Halacha of Tumas Mes. Here, on the other hand, in our parasha, the word Adam comes to include a guy, in this case, a guy, a Nachri, who was Osek Batorah. So what does the word Ha'adam mean? And Tosus differentiates between Ha'adam with a Hayayadiyah and Adam. Adam is a reference to the Jewish nation to the exclusion of other nations. But Ha'adam is an all-encompassing phrase that includes the entire human race. So when our pasuk says Yasa Osam Ha'adam, it's coming to include even a Nochri. Tosis continues and he asks another question. He quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara establishes that if one teaches Torah to a guy, he violates the essay of Magid Dvorov LeYaakov. And that teaches us that a guy has no permission to study Torah. And yet Rabbi Meir says that a guy who studies Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. Tosis answers, perhaps in the case of Kafu Osam L'lamed Es HaGoyim, Ein Tzach Limsar Al Zeh Es HaNefesh. The halacha is that you're not allowed to teach Torah to a guy, but if you're compelled to do so, then you don't have to give up your life for that. So Enochinami, Magid Dvarav LeYaakov, Ein Rishus L'Lamid L'Goyim Torah. But on the other hand, if one was compelled to do so, he's permitted to, and the guy himself is duly rewarded for his dedication to Torah study. Rishonim give another teretz that with regard to the study of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the goyim enochinami are permitted to study Torah, and a guy who dedicates himself to the study of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach is considered praiseworthy. He's like a Kohen Gadol. What we would like to develop is an approach to explain all the questions that we mentioned and to understand Asher Yaseh Osam Ha'odom V'chai Bahem. We would like to quote a pasuk in Yechezkel, which repeats itself many times. In the 20th perek, the Navi describes in a very short, concise way the experiences of Klal Yisrael from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim through the Midbar and entering into the land. And the pasuk says, Ki Am Yisrael, the people of Israel, Kibel, they received Chukim, Asher Yaseh Osam Ha'odom V'chai Bahem. However, unfortunately, with Sichlusam, I guess you'd translate that loosely as stupidity, Ma'asu B'chukim Ato. Ma'asu means they rejected, they found it repulsive. U'bacharu, instead, they decided chukim u'mishpatim, to accept chukim mishpatim lo tovim. And the Navi laments this situation. He says, v'gam anina sati lahem chukim lo tovim u'mishpatim lo yichyu bahem. And this is very interesting, because keneged chuki Hashem shema'afyein lahem shu shechayim bahem, HaChukim Sham Yisrael Bachar Lo Heim Chukim Shelo Chayim Bahem. In other words, the law of the Torah was given for Chay Bahem, for life for the Jewish people, and instead the Jews substituted, they took upon themselves Chukim Asher Lo Tovim Chukim Shelo Yichyu Bahem. There's an absolute contradiction here, a nigud between one polar extreme and the other. But in both cases, we're talking about the question of a Chai Bohem. In other words, the essential difference between the Chukei HaTorah and the Chukim of other nations, all the legal frameworks and systems of other nations, is the Chai Bohem. That what defines the essence of Chukei HaTorah is the Chai Bohem. And what does the Navi really mean when he says that Elu Asher Lo Kibla Torah, those who did not accept the Torah, is instead HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them Chukim Lo Tovim? And if you look at the Mefarshim on Tanakh, on Yechezkel, they all unanimously explain that we're talking about the Yetzer Hara. In other words, if the Jew is not smart enough to adopt for himself the Chukei HaTorah, then instead he falls into the Rishus, into the domain and the control of the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, which has its own system of Chukim, Chukim that are evil and not good. And we find something in Chazal which is a little bit of a different story. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos Chav Dalid, Hahoge Batorah Baderech, a person who studies Torah when he's on the way, he's on the road, Higilim Avos Hametunafos, and he gets to the point where the area that he's in on the road, on the journey, is mitunaf. In other words, there are filthy things, filth and excrement. Tzarech lahafsik lilmot. He's obligated to stop learning when he encounters this mavoi mitunaf. And v'im lo pasak olav, if he continues to study Torah in those places, hakos of Omer, the pasuk says, v'gam ani nasati lohem chukim lo tovim u'mishpatim lo yichyu bohem. The same pasuk in Yechezkel Novi. We find in the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Lamed Beis that if you have two talmid chachamim and they both inhabit the same city, v'enam nochim zel azeh b'halacha, if they don't have a certain sense of chavrusa, a certain sense of getting together to learn together, aleim akos of omer v'gam ani nasati lohem chukim lo tovim u'mishpatim lo yichyu bohem. Again, the quote of that very same pasuk in Yechezkel Novi. And what is the connection between Chukim Lotovim and these two examples, one in Brachos, the other in Megillah, about someone who learns in a Mavoi Metunaf, two Talmidei Chachamim Sheinam Nochim Zel Azeh B'Halacha? What is the essence here of Chukim HaLotovim? Chukim Lotovim, Mishpatim Lo Yichyu Bahem. Now, in order to analyze these issues, I'd like to share with you the insight of the Tolna Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg Shlita, in his sefer called Hema Yenachamuni. Later on, Mirtz Hashem, we'll be able to study another essay of his in a sefer called Mamori Kodesh. He asks a very fundamental question. He says, there are chukim, which are human laws, man-made laws, and there's a system of laws, lahavdil, that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Holy Torah. What is perhaps the most fundamental difference, the contrast between the two? Obviously, one has a human source, the other is divine, but is there something inherent in the legal system itself that we can point to that demonstrates the difference between the two? And he presents the following thesis, which I thought was very kedai for us to see, and perhaps would shed a light on the unit of Psukim here in Parshas Achrimos. The ultimate goal of human legislation is to preserve some sort of a social, societal framework. In other words, we have to limit both the individual and the collective group, because if there's absolute freedom, laissez-faire, that could lead to absolute anarchy. And as Chazal say it, Il mole mora shel malchus ishes re'eyu chaim blo, without some sort of fear of law, and of course of the executive branch of government, then man would swallow up his friend. And of course the more powerful would crush the weaker. And take, for example, we'll choose one simple isur, one simple prohibition, which is absolutely understood, universally accepted in every single legal system. And let's analyze the difference between that particular prohibition and its counterpart in the Torah HaKadosha. Let's take the example of lo signov, of the violation of stealing. And that's something, of course, that's prohibited by as criminal in any legal system in the world, but also under the Chukei HaTorah, Lo Signov. But yet, although it's universally accepted and it's absolutely necessary, without it, there's no way that you can protect what we call the Seder HaChevrati, the order of society. But let's take a look at the following question. Supposing a son whose father is a goses, meaning he's literally minutes away from his death, and the son steals something from his father. Who would give two hoots about it, so to speak? In any event, his father's going to die. There are no other heirs except for this particular son who stole something a minute before his father's death. In any event, that object would have transferred over to the son's ownership through the laws of inheritance. And it's very logical to assume that in any legal system, any human-made legal system, this action would not be defined as a criminal act of stealing, of theft. No lawgiver would care one way or the other about the fact that, you know what, maybe it's not the right thing to do. Maybe it's what we call the lack of midos tovus, of good ways and ethical attributes. All they're interested in is the society. And from the perspective of society, no great loss has been caused by this gneva to anybody, and therefore can be justified as a legal act. We're not talking about the act as it impacts upon the soul of he who implements the act. We're not talking about the purity of his attributes and his ethical soul. We're just talking about society and how to protect the members of society. So who cares if he stole a minute before his father's death that which is coming to him a minute later? In the Torah, though, it's not like that at all. By contrast, if a son would steal from his father an object 1 minute before his father's demise, he would be in violation of the law of Lo Signovu. And it would be no different, for that matter, from any ganav who steals. It's a criminal act. It's an avera. And why would that be so? Because the mitzvahs of the Torah, the chukim, which are divine, were not given in order to protect our lives and to preserve society, to make sure that there's seder, there's some sort of an organization to society, everything is organized, there's no anarchy, to be metaken, yeshuva shalolam, to make sure that it's cultured. That's not the ultimate goal of the Torah. Of course, all these are very noble goals, and we're not denying that. But the mitzvah Torah go way beyond that. They are what's called in the Rambam's language, etzot amukot, very, very deep and profound recommendations, if you will, about how to live your life. The Rambam speaks about la'adeno sana. La'adein means to make us sensitive. L'romemet nafshenu, the Rambam speaks about inspiring and uplifting our souls, to make us into better people, more spiritual, more divine, mitukanim yoter, more refined. When a person acts against the Chukei HaTorah, the laws of the Torah, he, first and foremost, is pogame. He creates a pagam, a blemish in his own nefesh, in his own soul, in his pnimius, in the inner part of his being, above and beyond what he may or may not be harming society. And if it's true that this son is about to inherit his father, and the object will in any way transfer over to his ownership, to his possession, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, he's stealing something that doesn't belong to him. His father is still alive, and that's how the halacha operates. And therefore, the act of gneva, even if it doesn't harm or damage anyone, nevertheless, it is a damage to himself, to the son, in this case, who implemented that act. It is pogame, is nefesh. It creates a blemish and an imperfection on his soul. It scars, if you will, or pollutes his soul. And there's a sefer called Lo Beli Biti. And in that sefer, which is a story about an American woman, a non-Jewish woman, who marries a Muslim who was studying at that time in one of the universities in the United States as an exchange student. after many years of marriage, he decides that he has a tremendous desire, a craving to go back to his homeland, to visit Iran, and he wants to visit his family members. Truth be told, his interest was really in settling back in Iran, but he knew that his wife would not agree to move to Iran, so he gave her this excuse that let's go back as a visit. Well, that's what happened. They visited Iran. And after a while, this American woman realized, she understood that his intention was to remain in Iran and to go back and return to the religion of his forefathers. He, the husband, agreed that she could leave, but he insisted that their daughter remain with him and become a Muslim. In this book, she tells the story of the entire development of the events as they transpired, and how at the end she was forced to run and steal her daughter in order to get out of Iran. And I'll tell you the truth, I believe that there are other situations and other episodes in other people's lives that would probably be a mirror image of this one. This is considered some sort of unusual phenomenon. But really, in truth, all these episodes have one common denominator. And that is that the husband of these American women decided to return to the Islamic faith. And that makes them what we call kavdanim, zo'afim. It gives them a certain sense of domination, of anger. They become what we call ba'alei mara shchora. They become very black and despairing. And what comes to the fore is what we call shtaltanut. Shtaltanut means to dominate over others. We see that religions in general have a tremendous impact on those who observe those religions. Man, by his very nature, desires freedom. He would like to enjoy a life of hedonistic pleasures, of luxuries. After all, as the Torah describes it and testifies, Yetzer lev ha'adam ra min ha'urav. Religion comes along to create a discipline, lirasein et ha'adam, to rein him in, so to speak, like we do with an animal who otherwise would run amok. And now, the religion really sees itself as a hitmodudut, some sort of a conflict with man's inner desires and his drives. And the goal of the religion is to control, to subjugate, to suppress all these drives. And what happens is that within man, there is a conflict between what he in himself would desire to do with his life and the freedom that he craves and his religion. And if at the end of the day he accepts his religion, this is going to bring him into a state of, in a sense, tension, of anger. He sort of like recoils into himself. He wants to push away others and maybe dominate them. This is what we call marashchora. And this is all a reflection of the fact that the chok of das, that the religious law, is in some way an antithesis, and it undermines and conflicts with the natural tendency and desire of man. And these laws create a certain tension within man. Let's return to make another observation about human law and the way man legislates. When man creates law, it is a result of reality. When reality or society changes, and there's a new entity, a new existence, a new reality, then the law has to reflect that change. Those who legislate new laws will do so based on what happens, episodes, or history as it unfolds. So reality creates law in a certain sense. In contrast, Lahavdil, our Torah, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is takal b'raisu bar alma, that the reality and the created world is a reflection of the Torah itself. The Torah becomes the blueprint, the, you know, the design, the designer, plans for the creation of the world. So it's not that reality creates law, but law is a reflection. Law is the generator, and again, divine law in this case. The Torah is what generates the reality. You know, it's the exact opposite, say there. So that the laws of the Torah become pre-creation, prior to the creation of the world, and they were legislated without any relevance, without any response to episodes that happened in reality, in human existence. The Chukei HaTorah are not created for the purpose of Tzorchei HaChevra, in order to supply and respond to the needs of a society. The Torah system of law is what creates the needs. Again, a change in direction. So again, whereas in secular law, it's the needs of society that give birth to the law, in Torah it's the exact opposite. The law itself gives birth to needs. Man is in need of fulfilling the law of the Torah. So that the Torah and its law is not created by human needs that come up within a historical context here, there, and elsewhere, this society or another. The Torah says, Asher yasa osam ha'odom v'chay bohem. Man is meant to observe the law, and then he will live by the law. The law gives man life. It's the source of existence. The Rambam writes in his Mishneh Torah at the end of Hilchas Tvura, V'chol eila dvarim k'dei lochuf es yitzron u'letakein deosav. Meaning all the laws, the halachas of the Torah were given in order to mold man in such a way, to create man. So through the observance of the Torah, man is molded in a way that he can live a life that's pure, overcoming his Yetzer Hara with tikkun deos. The Rambam writes, Rov dinei HaTorah einam ela eitzos mirachok, migadol ha'eitza, from the great person, the great being, I should say, who gives eitza, who gives recommendation, letaken adeos liyasher kol ha'masim. So man's perfection is achieved through the observance of the Torah. The mitzvos, the Chukei HaTorah, were geared for the purpose of liyasher kol ha'masim, says the Rambam, to make sure that our actions are upright, yosher, they're righteous. The Rambam deliberately codifies this at the end of the laws of Tmura. Why? Because Tmura is one of those laws that is a chok, it's a gzeres hakosiv, we don't understand it rationally. We can give other examples, of course, shatnez, kill lion, lo sachar shor v'chamor, yachtov. Would anyone entertain in any country in the world a law that should be legislated which would prohibit the wearing of a garment that's made of wool and linen? Which legislator would be interested at all in what the average citizen in that country wears and what his clothes are made of? What does society gain from such a law? After all, the law is meant to serve someone. However, in the case of the Chok HaTorah, these gzeros, these divine decrees, which you may say don't serve anyone, but the Torah testifies, Asher yase os osam ha'odom v'chay bohem, that the laws of the Torah is what we call a drug of life, a samachayim, a wonderful, incredible, amazing samachayim, which is going to give life to anyone who observes the laws of the Torah. And again, this is very often too profound for us to understand. It's a segula kind of concept. But the Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim writes, and he claims, that all the mitzvahs of the Torah have a purpose, whether it's physical and immediate, whether it's spiritual and down the line. He says the mitzvahs of Mila, Machalas Asuras, and all those are going to address the health and guarantee the health of man's physical body. The Rambam was, as we know, a great medical professional, and he saw a physical, physiological gain and benefit through the observance of the Torah. But he himself, the Rambam, admits that we don't always understand, we can't exhaust all the meanings and the roots of the Torah and the Tamei HaMitzvos. And the Rambam over and over again says that this is a Gzeiras HaKosev which we cannot understand. That's a phrase, a refrain that repeats itself over and over in the Rambam. Now, getting back to Yechezkel HaNavi that we spoke about earlier, when Chas V'Sholom, unfortunately, the Jewish nation veers far away from the Chukei HaTorah and they prefer to observe the Chukas HaGoyim, the laws of the land, the Navi says Chukim lo tovim, mishpatim lo yichyu behem. What does it mean that the Chukei HaGoyim is lo yichyu behem? The laws of the land and the human societal laws are lo yichyu behem, the exact opposite of what the Torah says about its own laws. And the contrast is very profound. Whereas Chukei HaTorah are v'chai bohem, and that's what we see here in our parasha, the Chukei HaGoyim are lo yichyu bohem. The Chukei HaTorah are geared towards the purpose of elevating man, of endearing man, carving out a more sensitive soul of man, to enrichen his ruach, his spirit. The laws of the Torah are geared for man. On the other hand, the laws of the Goyim are meant to serve society in general. They have no relationship to the individual and his soul. They are not trying to uplift or inspire his soul because he observes the law. If the law requires that you don't jaywalk, that's to protect society. If the law requires that an automobile not drive over the speed limit, that's to protect society. And there are millions of such examples. It doesn't mean that the observance of the law is going to have any uplifting spiritual impact on the person, the citizen who implements the law. That's not the interest of the law. The interest of the law is to serve society. And that's why when the Navi describes the Jewish people as veering off the path, he says that they accept chukim asher lo yichyu behem. They're not given for the sake of yichyu on an individual level. Let's come back to some of the questions in the psukim, in that unit of psukim in Parshas Achrimos that we began with. We saw that the Torah repeats itself. Now let's go back to the psukim again. The Torah says, Es mishpatai tasu, and ushmartem es chukosai v'es mishpatai. And we ask the question, why the seeming redundancy, the repetition? And the answer is there's a double emphasis here in the Torah. Es mishpatai tasu means that a person is called upon to cling to the Chukei HaTorah, to the laws of the Torah. And the Torah repeats itself and says, ushmartem es chukosai, to tell you v'chai bohem, to emphasize this fundamental and central principle that underlies the entire Torah and its goal. Don't fulfill the mitzvah Torah as you would do it if it was a legal system, lahavdil, that was human in nature, human in origin. Don't observe the law of the Torah like any human being of any nationality who fulfills the laws of his country because he's afraid that maybe if he violates the law, they'll put him in jail, they'll penalize him. The emphasis here is that we have to understand that the Chukei HaTorah are v'chai bohem. The emphasis here over and over again is our relationship, our perspective on the Chukei HaTorah. We should know, and that's what the Torah is enjoining us to do, that the Chukei HaTorah are v'chai b'hem. They are for our benefit. The Toelis is both physical and spiritual for us as individuals. Forget about society now. They are not pragmatic. They are not something that reflects the mores or that which is common and uniform in a society that's accepted as the norm. No, they are given for the purpose of chius, to bring us into, by observing the law, the life of sanctity, the life of purifying our soul. And perhaps that's what Rashi means. He asked the question, what's new about Bechukoseim Lo Teilechu? What does that add that we didn't know already? And the answer is, again, don't relate to the Torah the same way that the non-Jew relates to his law. Bechukoseim Lo Teilechu, on one level, is not a specific, rigid, detailed law. A norm of sort. Bechukoseim Lo Teilechu is really a philosophy. It's really a principle of our faith, that Lo Teilechu, don't imitate the way, the manner, and the relationship which a non-Jew has to the chok of his Medina. That's not our relationship to Chukei HaTorah. When Chazal say that Ein HaTorah Miskayemes El B'misha Memes Atzmo Aleho, and yet at the same time the Torah says v'chai b'hem v'lo sheyamus b'hem, and the pikuach nefesh is docha all the mitzvot of Torah, it's also true that v'chai b'hem describes that which is unique and that which is singular about the Chukei HaTorah, the essence of the Torah. V'chai b'hem, it's meant to give man life. The Jew is granted life by observing the Torah. And therefore, when a person wants to live by the Torah, v'chai b'hem, he wants the Torah to uplift him, he must be dedicated to the study of Torah. And it may mean that he has to kill himself, so to speak, in the Olel Torah. There's no stira. It's also v'chai b'hem, but how do you reach the v'chai b'hem that the Chukei HaTorah should grant life? The only way you could do so is by giving yourself to the Torah in an absolute way, without any holds bars, even if it means Mesiris Nefesh be Oel Shel Torah. The story is told about, or perhaps even by, Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz himself, in which one of the cardinals of the Christian faith asked him, what is special about the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach that we are obliged to observe? Why is a non-Jew, why should he be excited or motivated to observe the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach? So Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz turns to the cardinal and he says, you know what? Let's do an experiment. Let's take two young lads. We'll do an experiment. One will be raised in a house where he is educated to fulfill the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. The other will be raised by goyim, regular goyim, that are not even aware of the seven mitzvot Bnei Noach. And Rabbeinu Yonatan Eibeshitz, in his famous work called Medrash Yonatan, tells the following. He says that after the period of time that was set from the beginning with the cardinal was already gone by that time, he gathered together other priests of the Christian religion, and they studied these two boys. And they all agreed unanimously, by observing these two lads, that the one that was educated, that was brought up to fulfill the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, was that much superior. He superseded the other one with le'ein aroch, meaning you couldn't even evaluate it. His love for life, his physical strength even. So many dimensions of the wisdom and the intellect of his life were impacted by the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Who would ever entertain such a thing? And this is what the Pasuk means, Asher Yasa Osam Ha'odam. Why does it say Ha'odam? And the Torah wants to emphasize that the laws, the chukim of the Torah, are beneficial for man who fulfills them, And that includes all men, kol adam. Even a guy is included in this. Even a guy who observes the laws that he's required to observe by the Torah, asher yasa osam adam v'chay bahem, it will give him life. It will put him into a structure in which his observance, his dedication to these mitzvos will purify him and uplift him, will grant him the simchas achayim, and even the strength of physicality. And perhaps this could explain why Chazal interpret the pasuk chukim lo tovim, which was the pasuk in Yechezkel, referring to either someone who learns in a mavoi metunaf, in a place where he shouldn't be studying Torah, or to two talmidei chachamim, der einam nochim ze lo ze. The answer is, chukim lo tovim means laws that are not based on the Torah law. And now that we've understood the unbridgeable gap, the fundamental difference, the polar extremes that separate between chukim haTorah and lahavdil, other chukim, other legal human systems of law, we can now understand that studying the chukim haTorah means dedicating oneself to kedusha, to sanctity. There's nothing like the study of Torah that impacts on a person to elevate him with sanctity. On the other hand, when someone studies the laws of a secular nature, of a government, of a legal system, again, they could be very beneficial for society, but they're absolute chulin, they're absolutely mundane, without any element of sacred sanctity to them. And therefore, if a person was writing a legal text or a legal opinion, there would nothing in society would prevent him from doing so when he's located in a mavoi metunaf, in a place that's, you know, got filth in it and a bad smell and so forth and so on, because he's involved in a purely secular, mundane endeavor. But not so with regard to chukim haTorah. Even though, again, in the chukim haTorah there are many laws which are meant to guarantee society and its justice, you know, there are laws of Gneva and Ezekiel, there are laws of Shechinim. All these things might be considered, you know, at first glance, as Divrei Chulin. But no, insofar as they're part of Chukim haTorah, they have Kedusha to them. I know that the Alter of Slabodka, I just wanted to add here, in many of his shmuzim to the yeshiva in Slabodka, back in Europe, he used to point out that if you take a logical, rational mitzvah of the Torah, like V'ahavta l'reich kamocha, and he gave many examples, and you ask a Jew, well, is this a rational, secular law? That's something that's universal in nature. And he would say, yes, of course. And the Alter would go out of his way to disprove that thesis and show how the minute details on a deeper level of the halachas would prove that this is not a rational law that should be identified with the law of the country. And now we swing back to this person who's on his way on a journey. He's studying the Torah Kedosha, and he gets to he encounters a Mavoi Metunaf. And when he continues studying the Torah in that place, basically he's declaring that the Chukim haTorah are just like any other set of laws. And therefore, for him, the Torah is like chukim lo tovim. Chukim lo tovim is exactly the description that the Navi gives to the secular, mundane human law. And if you take a look in Rabbeinu Yonah's Pirush on the first perek of Avos, on the mission of the uknei lecha chaver, he asks the obvious question, can you take this statement of the Mishnah literally? Could it mean that we really buy a chaver? You know, what kind of friendship would it be if you bought that friendship, or with whatever means you used in order to get yourself a chaver tov? If his friend is only, you know, loyal to him because of the tova, the hanah that he got from you? So what did the Tana mean when he said k'nei l'chachav? What kind of kinyan? What are you purchasing? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, the kinyan here is not a reflection on the method by which, the means by which, through money or other, you know, bestowing other goods or favors in a physical sense, that's how he was kona. The word kinyan with regard to a chaver, means to express a genuine, profound friendship of one man to his friend. If you want to, possess or gain such a chaver, you yourself have to be a chaver tov. You have to show him sefer panim yafos. You have to have a good, you know, nice and smiley face with happiness on it. You have to radiate. You have to interest yourself in him. You have to help him out. That's the way you're kona a chaver. And Rabbi Yonah embellishes this, and he says that kasher odam meir panav lezuas, when a man shows a beautiful countenance, which he radiates with simcha to his friend, then that's going to have an impact on the entire sviva, on the entire society around him. If, on the other hand, chalila v'chas, he himself is shorui beruach of shchora, you know, he's in a bad state of depression, b'mora shchora, it's like gam chaver lo yirtzel is karavev. Kinyan chaver means that you have to go with a derech of mi'ar panim, horis panim ruach tova. That's going to bring you closer to each other. That's going to be the kinyan of a chaver. Now, if you have two talmidei chachamim that are learning Torah, the same exact Torah, and it's the Torah v'chai bohem, then when they learn the Torah v'chai bohem, they should be completely, they should radiate, shall we say, joy and simcha because of the Torah that they're learning. Do they appreciate how great the Torah is and the v'chai bohem of the Torah? And the Medrash tells us, in the name of Rav Nachman, Bereid Rav Chizda, and you'll find this in the Gemara Navodah Zorah Lamed Hey, Mai Dechsiv L'Reach Shmonecha Tovim, the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim speaks about the Reach, the good odor, the pleasant odor. L'mat Talmid Chacham Dona L'Tzluchos Shel Plaiton. Plaiton means some sort of fragrant-smelling oil. Magula, if it's exposed, Reicho Noda, the smell, you know, expands and surrounds all the people in close vicinity will enjoy it. Mechusa, if he closes up the tzluchas, then Eino Reicho Noda, if the reach doesn't go out. And Tosus there points out that this is a reflection on what the Mishnah says, that one of the great milos of someone who's dedicated to Torah study is that he's misameach zabrios. He's like this tzluchis shel plaitin, which is megula and reicho nodef, so that his simcha and his joy somehow spreads out. It's contagious. He becomes a misameach zabrios. So therefore, if two talmidei chachamim are not nochim zelazeh, in other words, they're studying Torah in a way that the Torah, they're not studying, I should say, Torah in a way that the Torah could impact on them with chiyus, the v'chai bahem, to enhance their simcha, to create a tzlucha shel plaiton that is meant to radiate on the entire surrounding area. If they're studying the Torah as a secular study, in a sense of chulin, if there's a comparison, if you will, between their study of Torah and the study of other secular legal systems, that's chukim lo tovim, that's mishpatim lo yichyu behem. So we come back to where we started, on full circle. The parsha here in Achrimos emphasizes that the chukim at Torah are v'chai behem. And if we can appreciate what v'chai bohem, if we can dedicate ourselves to the study of the Holy Torah, to study Torah in a way that it can impact on our souls, it can refine us, it can purify and uplift us, meitivim darkenu b'zeh olam, it will rectify our ways, our pathways in this world. And then, tov li toras picha me'alfei zov v'kesef, orech yom v'yamina b'smola oshe v'kavod, kein yiratzon. Amen. One of the central themes of Parshas Achrimos is tznius. And very often we've thought about what tznius means. People identified tznius as modesty, and there's no question that there is a very direct connection between tznius and modesty. You cannot deny that. But perhaps we can emphasize another dimension to this concept of modesty and tznius. In Parsha Shmos, the pasuk says, "Vayomer." This is Yisro talking to his daughters. "Ve'ayo lema ze azavtem es ha'ish kron lo v'yochal lechem." The Maral Prague in his Gvuras Hashem Perek Chof says the following: the Medrash in Yalkut Shmoni looks at this word "ve'ayo." Why did you let him go? Omar lehem. He turns, the father turns to his daughter. He says, "Shema, perhaps may also zera, she omar ayei sora ishtecha, she kol olam mizbarech bishvil oso zera. Perhaps this individual that you encountered is a descendant of Sora, about whom the Torah says, Ayei Sara Ishtech, I mean she was a tznua, and the entire world is blessed through her zera, her descendants." And the Maral writes that what Chazal want to clarify here and elucidate is that when Yisro used the word v'ayeh, what he was alluding to was that perhaps this person is an ish tznua, and therefore descendant of Sarah, of Sari Menu, and he is an heir to her great attribute of tznius. And this tznius is going to be good for the entire world. And that's why we ask the word ayeh. Zeho ra al tznius drachav, says the Maral, that this man was a tznua. If this man was not a tanui, he would run in order to declare whatever words he had to declare. But perhaps, therefore, this man who's quiet, he's a tanua, he's mizera sora. The Malachim asked, "Ayei sora ishtecha?" In order to illustrate, in order to emphasize her midah of tznius, she was therefore ru'uya leben shal yodo kol ha'olam mizbarech. Tznius, says the Maral, mora al ha'bracha. Bracha is always something that's tzanua, that's nistar. It's concealed, it's not obvious. You can't point to it and see it on the surface, it's not revealed. Hadvarma pchusim ein madregosam pnimi. Those things that represent the lower echelon, they are superficial. The einam ruuyim lebracha. Bracha is something that's below the surface, that's on a deeper level, that's concealed. Those are the dvarim asher el yonim b'mayla. That which is elevated, ascends on high, is pnimiyim. It's something inside. It's the inner moment, the inner experience of a person. That's royal bracha. Why? Because bracha applies to something that's pnimi, that's nistar, that's below the surface, that's hidden from the naked eye. Tznius is mora on ili malo. Whenever you see tznius, that is an indication of a very high level. And a bracha will come through something that's hester, that's tzanua, that's hidden below the surface. Anything that's golui, says the Maral, that's revealed, that's accessible, that you can see with your eye, that relates to the world of chisaron, of imperfection, of shiflus, of a low level. There's no bracha there. When Chazal tells us in the Gemara in Tainis Daf Ches, "Ein bracha shrui el bedover somui min ayin," that which is hidden below the surface. A tznius of, in this case, Moshe and his derech, would indicate that he is a descendant of Sarah, about whom the Malachim said, "Ayei Sara Ishtecha." For her tznius, the way that she lives her life, is she deserves a ben, and the child, the entire world will be blessed because of this child. And therefore, Shema Yisa Achas Michem. Chazal say that Yisro was already anticipating the possibility that actually came to fruition, that Moshe would marry one of his daughters, V'yah Mizarachem Mizbarach Kol Ha'olam. Maybe from that marriage will come a Zera that will bring bracha to the whole world. So the emphasis here on Tznius is on something that's below the surface. And the Meshech Chochma, at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, speaks about the Chazal that emphasize the Osek, Misha Osek Bator Balaila, Ashchina Kenegda Bayom, Kuni Roni Balaila. What's the emphasis here on studying Torah at night? And the Meshech Chochma of Meir Simcha wants to suggest that the Kavan of Limud Balaila is Limud Be'ez Ofel, when no one could see you. It's in a dark room, lola kavod, you're not looking for glory and, you know, high profile, shining neon lights. Chak behest there, bits news. Some people, especially back in Europe, would study with such dochak. You know, talk about the ketzos hachosh and the poverty. And a person who studies Torah in order to get respect and glory, he wants to become a rav, he wants to complete his nefesh. You know what? That's not the highest level. He's really interested in toelis. You know, he wants something pragmatic. He wants to see the gains of his learning. But then there's someone who is a zorea bedima berini yaktzoru, someone whose pu'ulos are hidden, are concealed. He's not interested in fame and glory. He's interested in something called Osek v'Torah b'Mistarim. He's interested in being clad by night, hidden as it were. His connection to the Torah is for the sake of the Torah. He's not interested in any glory. And I want to tell you a story that they tell about the yeshiva in Kelim. It was a great Musar, citadel of Musar, center of Musar. And the altar of Kelm, his name was Reb Simcha Zissel, was so tzanua, and the whole yeshiva was so tzanua, Hatznei Leches. That was the, in a sense, the main principle of that the Torah, that the yeshiva was built around. To such an extent that there was never any sort of pirsum, any sort of publicity on what went on within the walls of the yeshiva, the starim, the way they learnt, or the heads of the yeshiva. There was never any sort of a campaign to publicize what they did and what their institution was all about, what was unique about it. They never turned to the tzibur to ask for funds to support the yeshiva. In fact, when various writers from different newspapers and so forth would come to visit the yeshiva, No one allowed them to interview the yeshiva. No one allowed them even to take photographs of the yeshiva. And Lamaisa, we don't have today any picture, as far as I know, of the yeshiva in Kelm. We don't even have a picture of Rav Simcha Zissel, the altar of Kelm. That's tznius. Rav Dessler, in a number of places, in his Michtam Elio, Chelik Gimel, Chelik Dalid, speaks about tznius. My ayin lo ros alakimzul asecha. What is the pasuk Yeshaya min? Omar Rav Yeshua ben Levi zayayin hamashubar be'anov of misheshes yimei breishes. What is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is a place where a person will live in the realm of pnimius, of truth, of something that's below the surface. Anything that goes out, that's exposed, that's accessible from the outside. Even things shechoshim odosav ech nira klapichutz, it's already not shach to that tara, that world of purity of olam above the eternal world. That's ayin lo ros olakim zulasecha. That's the pnimius that a zar, the eyes of someone on the outside, will not behold. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees. The pnimius is something that is blocked and denied to the eye of the spectator. Only Hashem sees it. And that's the Yayin HaMeshumer Banovov Nisheshis Mebreshis. Elsewhere, the Michtam Elio speaks about the fact that the Gemara tells us different things in describing a Talmud Chacham and his greatness. He writes, Yesh ba'odam pnim, a person has an insight, a deeper level, the Kedusha. And that Kedusha is the Shoresh of Tov, it's the source for all good. Ukshezesh sholet, Yesh biyodo lafoch es amidos litov. Kshodom misrachik miapnim, misrachik. Miskariv el achitzonius. Shifos olam azeh, shalom lishma. Is amidos hein lera. How do you convert the midos to good? That's only when you mafne, you push them and you reflect them on the inside. Not klapi chutz. And perhaps that's what the Gemara means in Shabbos when it speaks about a Talmud Chacham who's makbid al chaluko lahofcha. Lahofcha means to turn it towards the inside, towards the pnim. Not to show so much bachutz, the mid of tznius. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Yuma, Tana Rabbanan Shiva Banim Hayala Lekimchis Bekulan Shimshu Bekula Gedola Amru Lo Chachamim Ma'asis Shazachis Lekach. How could it be that you, one woman, would have seven sons that all would serve, each one as a Kohen Gadol? Amru Lehem, she responded, Miyamai Lo Ro Koros Besi Klai Se'ari. In other words, she had a tremendous mida of tznius. So the Maharal Miprag writes the following: Udvarim elu tavin min advarim asher amarnu ki atznius befrat mevi zera pnimi nistar kadosh shumishamesh lefnai velefnim bekuhuna gedola bemakom shein roi li acher lios nichnas lefnai velefnim lemakom kadosh veroi elze befrat hatznius sheyizkel zera kadosh kmo ze v'havin ze. The Beis Hamikdash is presented here and described, depicted as a paradigm of Pnimius. And she, this unbelievable woman, Kimchis, was the paradigm of Tznius. And therefore, her children, the Zera of this woman, had Pnimius. They had a Kedusha that was Nisteres. And that's what enables them to service Hashem lifnai v'lifnim. Again, lifnai v'lifnim, emphasizing that a Kohen Gadol goes to a place where no one else could go into, no one else could see there. That's the tznius. That's the epitome, the paradigm of a makom tzanua. Yiratzom Epi's will that we can learn all the messages of this great parsha of Achrimos. We began with our discussion about V'chai Bohem, appreciating how the Chukei HaTorah are so unique. And now we discuss the concept of Talmud Torah, Balayla, V'choshech, B'tznius, not to do it for the sake of glory, not to look over your shoulder and see who's appreciating you. Are they writing about you? Are they sending some sort of a CV, you know, writing how great of a scholar you are? None of the above. You know, this is the tznius of a Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the tznius of a Sara Imenu. This is the tznius of Kimchis. This is the tznius of a Kohen Gadol going lifnai v'lifnim. Ayin lo ras alokim zu asecha. Yiratzon, that we should love the pnimius and the truth. We should not be moved or excited about the chitzonius, about showing off to anyone. It's ayin lo ras. And in such a way, will be zocha to the Yayin HaMeshumar, to understand the depths of the Torah, its chokhma, its tznius, its midos tovos, that should beautify our souls and uplift and purify. Kei Yirat Zon. Amen.